This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, there are about a million different ways that you can lose your job, right? Insubordination, poor performance, unprofessional conduct, theft, corporate downsizing, inability to work with others, chronic absenteeism, replaced by AR or machinery, or if you're a certain nurse in England, you will lose your job after posing for OnlyFans. But more to the point, she was posing for pictures and filming sex scenes while at work. Turns out that's a no-no, mostly because she was doing it at work, but truth be told, we used to work with someone who did something similar. We just didn't figure it out until later. Going, man, that bathroom looks familiar in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now we know. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Like that mirror?
Oh, wow. Huh. Well, yeah, that's what you're doing on the overnights.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a nursery school teacher at a Catholic nursery school, she lost her job after it was discovered that she was also an OnlyFans model. Now, she was not doing it on the job. She was found out exactly the way you thought she was when the father of a student bought her pictures, but then the guy's wife found out about it. You can do the math. And then there's former Disney employee. Now, he was just sentenced to 3 years in prison for hacking menus to remove all the allergy information, but more than that, also adding profanities. So you can get some Mickey Mouse-shaped effing pancakes. Yes, it's just not the Disney way. Now, these are just some of the stories we've come across. Stories that left us with many questions. Questions we'd like to ask you in the form of our random question, and this is how it works. You call us, we will ask you a question at complete random. And after you share your story, we will share with you the news story that inspired said question.
To be a part of the big show, the random question, call 206-803-ROCK. Like KISW on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@KISW.com.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Over to us, away we go. Welcome to the 20th anniversary season, episode number 4,306. What a large and in charge program we have for you. It's a guaranteed future repeat. The exciting return of your guess is as good as mine. Our categories. We have the dirtiest U.S. cities, just reviewed. From clean drinking water to sewage disposal, littered streets, missed garbage pickups, they analyzed 12.3 million sanitation-related complaints in the United States. And they found the 10 worst cities as far as being just dirty.
These are all major cities. We've heard of these, I'm assuming.
We have heard of all these. Believe it or not, if you live in downtown Seattle, you think maybe we got a shot at this one.
Yeah, no kidding.
We do not. We are not even in the top 30 as far as being one of the dirtiest cities in the United States.
All right.
So we do some good, obviously.
Yeah. And
some things. I mean, I guess that's better than not. But two of the cities are in California.
All right.
Two are in Texas. We've got one in Missouri, one in Tennessee, one in Maryland. One in North Carolina. One in Massachusetts, and one in New York. And that list was sent in by Leslie, one of our listeners.
Oh, nice.
The other category, as you know, Daily Mix Show, they will be in Puyallup on Saturday. They will be at the Red Dog in Puyallup from noon until 2, having a little party called Sunrise de Mayo. You see.
Sunrise de Mayo.
Bring your dogs. They want you to bring your kids and all that. So what we have for you in the other category is 10 non-religious holidays. I don't know if you knew this. Cinco de Mayo, not a religious holiday.
Yeah, but what about Sunrise de Mayo? Well, we don't know. Not, I haven't
not,
talked to you about it.
Not a religious holiday. You might have
celebrated. I don't think most people have any idea what Cinco de Mayo is.
They, what, Mexico defeated the French, I believe, but it wasn't like the end of a war.
No, it was Mexico battle. Independence Day is in September.
Correct.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so we know Easter, religious holiday.
Yeah.
Super Passover, religious.
Christmas, you know the ones. These are the ones you celebrate and you go, eh, well, you know, I mean, some we get a day off.
Well, so wait, I mean, like July 4th.
That's
Independence Thanksgiving, Day. Right.
That's exactly right. And, you know, if one of the answers is like, Halloween, don't break down like the, you know, religious pagan aspect. You know the difference.
Right.
You know, if we say St. Patty's Day, don't tell me about some Christian guy that found a shamrock.
Right.
We're talking about non-religious holidays, okay? You know, whatever. Found a leprechaun.
Right.
Mowing his lawn. I don't know. Whatever the deal is. It's, yeah. Christopher Columbus might have been Catholic.
Right.
We don't care. It's a non-religion. We don't celebrate religion on these days.
Right.
St. Valentine's Day.
That's exactly
right.
Yeah, exactly, man. What do you guys know? Why do I listen to this crap? So, dirtiest U.S. cities and non-religious holidays. Those are our categories coming up at 4:30. With your guess is as good as mine. And today's the day we do our random question. Question 206-803-ROM.
Random. It's Monday, bro. Come on.
Random, all right, we have no calls.
Phones are doing nothing.
No, he's back.
All right, by the way, just real quick, how was everyone's time off?
Yeah. You know what? In my case, it was fun, but the weather was a challenge. Because as soon as I left, the weather in Seattle got wonderful.
That is what I heard.
Where I went was rainy, cold. The high was like 52. Most days were 48.
So it's not a vacation to me.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, and everybody's like, oh, you brought the weather down. Except for one dude. He didn't know it rained in Seattle.
Yeah.
But other than
that. He had never heard that.
No, he hadn't.
Okay.
I was shocked by the entire
thing. The weather was unbelievable here.
Yeah.
I went to the Seahawks draft party. I was outside. It was almost too sunny.
My neck
was getting red.
When'd you go? How long were you in Leavenworth?
Just like 3 days. Leavenworth, I love that town. I highly recommend those alpine slides. It's a little scary.
Did you go to your new beer hall?
I went to the Moochin House. You know, got a beverage in
Did
there.
Did you tell anyone there? You know, I've been to the original. Were you that guy?
That's the Hofbrauhaus.
Damn it! Damn it!
There's one in Vegas that's an exact replica, okay. And I did tell them. Because there's German people working there.
All right.
But yeah, sense. The Moochin House is just that. Plus, it's just a fun little town. And then, my one buddy on a Friday night made rack of lamb with Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, get out of here.
Ooh.
Oh, delicious.
I made a lamb shank last night.
Oh. I also
then stabbed another inmate.
Exactly.
Hopped in the Wenatchee River.
How was that?
That was freaking cold.
Yes!
I mean, we
who made that decision?
Well, me and Rob. Rob
okay.
and I.
All right.
We're maniacs.
Is it like doing a like an ice dip?
Yeah.
Kind of
we had a hot tub. We had a beach entrance. We were like, let's go down there. We didn't like forge into it because this time of year it's so cold. It wouldn't take long for it to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So I just got deep enough that I could get like my boys in there and kind
of. No. That's when it changes, man.
Yeah.
Like if you're a dude, you know, you walk into the water and it's ice cold, right? And you get up to your knees and you're to your wife, like, I'm telling you. Just get all the way in. It feels better. And it's like, ladies, listen, it is 100% our testicles. Once the cold water hits that, we're wrecked.
Yeah. How about your Mexican hacienda?
It was fantastic.
What, same place? You were at the same place every time?
Not every time, but same place as last year because there are requirements. It must have a pool. End of requirements. So, not for me, for my son. So, the place we stayed at last year, we stayed at this year. He introduced some a Mexican couple to American football.
All right.
He wanted me to throw the football to him in the pools.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They were out there trying to be romantic, right? It was one of those deals where she's sitting on the stairs.
Oh, man.
He's got his back pushed into her. She's got his arm around the chest. Their heads are kind of leaning on each other. My kid just dives in. We start throwing the football around. I kind of felt bad. My kid didn't care. But after about 10 minutes, the guy doesn't speak any English. I don't speak Spanish, which is why I love it. He just makes the football motion. So I toss in the football, and basically he, his wife, and my son... they played football, and I just chilled.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Yeah. You got to know if you're going to a pool, unless you're in Vegas. There's going to be kids everywhere.
Of course there's going
to
be kids everywhere.
You cannot avoid kids.
That's all he wants to do.
You can't be romantic. No, nothing. Kids will be in there at 2 o'clock in the morning.
if the parents will let them stay up that late.
Oh, always. You know? Always. Every time, man.
Kids. People that love pools.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't mind kids.
I mean, it's better. It's better. At least you have your kid. I would be that awkward person and be like, sorry, I'm getting in the pool. I just would have kept my back to him.
Well, but look, man, I'm sorry. If it's a hot tub, I get it. Maybe I will not encroach on your romance time. But a pool, it's a pool.
Right. Yeah.
You are a couple. You took this little itty-bitty court. The rest is out.
Also, I like kids. So, like, when they're playing in the pool, I'm like, all right, kid, I'm going to give you a foot flip. You ever seen this before? And then their parents are cool.
Because do you ask for permission or do you just do it? I know.
No, I ask him. I was like, put your hands on my shoulders. I'm going to flip you. Do you want to dive backwards? Do whatever you're doing. Try to flip them up in the air so I can do like a couple flips and learn how to do that.
But then how long do you start doing that? Because the thing with kids, if you do something and they like it,
I don't mind that.
Really?
That's one of the things I miss about being a parent with my young kids.
Throwing your kids in the water.
Just playing with them, getting stoned and laying on the carpet and putting puzzles together and doing all these weird games. I love that, man.
All right.
That's the one thing I miss about being. It's not that I don't appreciate my adult children.
That sounds to me like you don't appreciate it.
I just miss that part of parenting. I thought that was a fun time. You know, obviously it's a little bit more challenging, but as soon as they could like put their own clothes on and stuff, that helped. But
I dig that part. I'm happy about that.
Yes. Oh, do we have callers on the line now?
Apparently. Random. Hello, Brad. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Brad, welcome to the program. Random question. What do we got for you? Okay, here's a good one. What would you say is the lamest or coolest tourist attraction that you've ever visited? Coolest or lamest?
Oh, wow. I don't go vacation much, so...
I mean, hell, even if it's the Space Needle. I mean, either meets your expectations, you think it sucks, or you think it's awesome, right? I mean, it is what it is.
The Space Needle is cool, but I've been on that when I was little. I don't know. How about Disneyland?
Good or bad?
You thought it was awesome or bad?
Good.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
I agree with you.
How long did you have to wait in line on average when you were there?
Oh, wow. Depends on what ride it was, but probably, it was when I was like 13, so it's a long time ago.
But I mean, that's the only knock you ever hear. Anyone that goes to a Disney property is like, look, they know what they're doing. You have a good time. It's just the wait.
Or cost. It is. Cost. Yeah.
Probably 20, 30 minutes at least.
No, that's not bad, man.
Yeah.
But when you're 13, it's great because the cost is not yours.
Exactly.
Yeah. The memories are real good.
So there's some, I have heard of underwhelming tourist attractions.
Plymouth Rock.
Plymouth Rock.
Plymouth Rock is just so small.
Like your brother said in the Mona Lisa. It's not that the Louvre isn't a fantastic museum. It's just the fact that Mona Lisa is like, 1.5 by 7 inches?
It's like 17 by something. And that was his point. He's like, man, you go to the Louvre and, look, he's a dude, so his appreciation of art is about commensurate with most guys, you know, right? Like, if I like it, cool, whatever. So he goes to this place, but the main draw, like anything, is the Mona Lisa. And apparently it's in its own isolated room, blah, blah, blah. So he has to wait in line. He's like, I get there, man. It's like a goddamn postage stamp. I said, but it's not the size, man. I said, it's the Mona Lisa. He's like, right, but you always think it's going to be bigger. He's like, kind of sucked. He's like, so I looked at it and was like, all right.
The one that made me feel better about myself was Hollywood Boulevard.
That was a little, it's not what you think.
That is one where you're down there and go, wow, this is a wow.
I'd put Times Square on there. They've done a good job of cleaning it up and stuff, but I mean, it's every shop you can imagine.
It is.
I mean, it's cool. Like, there's like an NHL like shop that I had never seen before, but like, it's just shops. And I'm not against chain restaurants.
The most expensive versions of everywhere you've ever been.
Correct. So, like, for me, Times Square just didn't hold a lot. There's just a lot of other cool stuff in New York. Like, spend any time in Central Park.
Well, I think New York. Yeah, New York, everything's kind of cool. I kind of like Times Square. It's exactly what I thought it would be.
All right.
But to Miles's point, man, with Hollywood Boulevard, like the only time you see it on TV, someone's getting their star, so their celebrities is cleaned up. Well, if that's not what's happening, man, and you go there, it's like Third Avenue in Seattle, just put the stars on the ground. No. Seriously, man, a couple guys dressed as superheroes.
Well, they have them down there by Nordstrom.
Yeah, exactly.
Seattle Walk of Fame. Walk around Nordstrom.
Dude, you know what else I put on there? Unless you're really into partying, Bourbon Street kind of sucked.
Oh, I like Bourbon Street.
Really?
Take out the drinking.
Okay.
I've been there.
Were you on a dry holiday?
It was noon, and we got there, and it just smells like pee and water and just
and vomit, man.
Yeah,
it's constant.
Right. And then I've heard from other people, like, you should go visit some of the other neighborhoods.
Like the Garden District or something.
Right. Somebody's saying, I get it, if you're partying and, you know, have a couple, but whatever, I'm sure you'll love Bourbon Street. Just for me, I didn't expect it to be that dirty.
It's kind of like off the strip of Vegas in the broad daylight. It's yeah. noon and there's just trash yeah. everywhere. It right, stinks. Yeah.
You know what I hate? Vegas by daylight.
And this is one of the things I don't miss about being married is, like, in Victoria, they have a lovely rose garden.
Oh, it's beautiful.
In Portland,
what other kind of rose garden
in
is
Portland,
it? Lovely.
They have a lovely rose garden. You know how much Emmy zero Fs I give about going to a rose garden?
Yeah.
Spending 3 hours walking around. That's why I've never gone and seen the tulips. I was just nod up and down like Clark Griswold and go, all right, let's get out of here.
Not my wife and I. We just had this conversation about the tulip festival. Like she's like, just don't go. So I'm not gonna go. She's like, well, it'll be me, a couple girlfriends. I said, listen, man, go do what you gotta do, and you can make it fun because if you're going with girlfriends, you're gonna drink wine, and it makes everything fun, right? But I said, let's just cut to the chase. The tulips, right? And she's like, the tulips. They have beautiful colors. I said, well, that's kind of what tulips do, man. Right. Like. Why am I there?
Well,
why
am I there to look at tulips? I'm standing reading plaques. Like, oh, this maple tree was brought in from Japan. Blah, blah, blah. It's one of the things. I'm thinking about it. I'd rather see it. I don't give her. Bring me a dolphin. You know, what else can I see from this country? You know, other than this thing.
Do you think your safari guide would be excited to go to our zoo?
It's a boring plant zoo. That's what a rose garden is. It's plants that look similar to plants that you already know, but this one's from somewhere else. I don't care.
And you don't know if they're telling the truth. They'll say, these two roses look alike, but they're different. How do I know that? I don't know that.
You know the Arboretum at UW. They have a wonderful Japanese garden. I've walked through it, all right? It's
all right?
It's I'd almost rather walk anywhere else in town. I mean, just to walk around. It's okay.
If you're going just to get a walk in, I'd rather go look at flowers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to
But if it's like a destination for all day.
Right.
I
mean,
I can fathom the tulips just because it's really? So specific to like this area and then somewhere else in Europe.
Right. But I mean, even when I hear what you're saying, but when I get there, it's still just tulips. Right.
What do I do?
You know?
What do I do?
What about foliage?
You like fall foliage?
It's nice if you're driving, but you're driving there anyway. And you look around, and you go, oh, look, the tree.
If I still lived on the East Coast, I would still, like, I love driving up, like, you know, you get to the Northeast in the fall. It's beautiful.
It is. It absolutely is.
I like more of the practical application. Like, so you go to a blueberry farm because you're going to pick blueberries.
You pick blueberries, sure.
Right. You go
that still sounds like lame. Apple.
Even if you go to a pumpkin patch, you're going to come home with
I hate the pumpkin patch. I love
that's
it.
Really?
That's because I'm money. Just cold and wet, and I'm like, if you want a pumpkin that bad, let's just buy one at the goddamn store. They have it up front.
Get yourself a hot chocolate, pour some schnapps in it.
Take away the hot chocolate or the cider, right? That seems to be like the go-to drink from pumpkin. All right,
cider
what
donuts.
Else is, what? Cider donuts.
Apple cider donuts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Apple fritters.
I guess, but it's specifically, you only seem to, like, apple cider donuts are sold all year round.
All right.
But for some reason, and you never think about eating them until, like, the fall. Yeah, like, those 2 months.
One thing that I've heard's cool that I've never done in Seattle is the Underground Tour. And I've never heard
I've
anybody
heard the same thing.
Say anything other than that it was a good time.
I have.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd they say?
Okay, Eeyore. I have.
It's just the one person that said it the way I said it. You know, look, fine. It was my mom. My mom loves all kinds of boring BS. And for her to go, I didn't like that tour. I went,
really?
You found it a little boring. She was like, yeah. And I'm like, okay.
Wow. That's a bad review right
there. That's what I went, I have.
Okay, Mom. What's the lamest or coolest tourist attraction you visited? Hundreds of people have flocked to have their photo taken on a dumped couch in the middle of a village after it became an unlikely tourist attraction. Since finding fame, the two-seater has been mentioned on TripAdvisor as something that you should do if you're in Gloucestershire, England. They have a dedicated Facebook page.
An abandoned couch.
It was dumped on a wasteland in the middle of a village in early April. But a photographer, I guess who's pretty popular, his name is Alex Elton Wall, thought it presented an opportunity to document the local community and has since taken more than 150 portraits of its residents sitting on that couch. He said a piece of rubbish turned into something fun, and as an amateur documentary photographer, it's been a great opportunity to photograph the local community. Hard to take pictures of families these days. It's been an amazing opportunity to take pictures of the community as they all come together. Families, dogs, landlords, landladies, friends at pubs all come down and get their either friend or family picture taken on this couch that was abandoned in the field.
Huh. All right. So he's kind of making that happen.
Well, based on the fact, I guess he took one just really cool portrait picture.
And now everybody wants to be there.
Now everyone wants to sit on that couch and kind of get their own picture on it. So before it was an empty couch in the middle of a field.
And also known colloquially as junk.
As West Virginia.
Isn't there like a Prada store or something like in the middle of the desert in like Texas?
Really?
But it's not like a real one. It just has like the facade of it. And I feel like people go out there specifically to get pictures for this.
Road trip.
Prada.
Or maybe it's a Tiffany store.
Tiffany's okay. Of the desert.
More of the random question coming up 206-803-ROCK.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Random question 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola,
Justin, welcome to the program. And the random question. All right, Justin, let's go on this one. In your life, what imaginary Hall of Fame should you be enshrined in? Okay? Understand what I'm saying? Ooh. Good or bad?
Let's go, like being told is by my coworkers, Jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades.
So you know how to do a lot of different things. Do you do any of them better than others?
It all depends on how much time I'm currently doing it.
Okay. How do people find out that you're a jack of all trades?
So, my current job, for instance, I started off as a welder, and then now I'm a CNC programmer, the machinist. I can run the laser, do the wiring.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If you needed to change the toilet in your bathroom at home, could you do that?
I changed all three.
All right.
Of course you did.
If you wanted to put a tile backsplash on your kitchen counter, could you do that?
I tiled my backsplash, and I redid my entire bathtub surrounds.
Could you do a deck on your back porch, on your slider, if you needed to?
I helped my dad do his deck back when I was about 15, 16.
Justin, you're starting to annoy me.
Can you pour concrete?
Yes, I can.
Of course.
Wow.
Have you ever killed a man in Reno?
Yeah.
I did that just last night.
Something I've never done.
Okay, we found something.
But you really did
But
prove,
you could.
You proved the fact that you should be in the Jack of All Trades Hall of Fame.
That is why the only one I can think of other than semi-competitive eating.
Okay.
Really?
That's not bad.
What food eating competition would give you your best shot of winning?
Ooh, I think it was George that did that miniature donut contest, and I'm pretty sure I could probably pace George on that, no problem.
How many donuts did he put down?
I think it was 30 or something.
And how long do they have to eat these donuts?
That is a wonderful question. I wasn't paying that much attention to in the morning.
All right. I thought about this a little, and nothing important, but I think things like if they did have these Hall of Fames that I should be considered.
Okay.
So, for an example, Metamucil Hall of Fame.
For sure.
Yeah.
You've been flying their flag.
There's not a lot
years.
Of people who've been talking about this miracle drug for 25 years as much as possible, especially when you consider the age appropriateness of bringing up this conversation.
Right.
So you shouldn't be 30 and talking about the benefits of Metamucil.
But that's what you've been doing.
Correct. So I think that they should just...
Is that Hall of Fame, or do you get a lifetime supply of recognition?
This has been free advertising. I've been singing the praises of this company that no one else... They do advertise on the radio. They don't advertise on our show. They don't advertise
on the radio. They don't need to, because you bring it up.
Because I do it. So I'm saving them money.
If you're in the Hall of Fame of taking the most, I'd say you could be in the Hall of Fame
Promoting it.
You were an early adopter for...
Early adopter.
If you can
category.
Save one person and they start taking it, they will thank you for the rest of their life.
Would you put your face on Metamucil? Like the Gerber
yes,
baby.
Okay, absolutely.
And perpetuity. So a thumbs
Two
up.
Two thumbs up. Just me smiling.
Yeah.
Smooth and easy, brother.
Smooth and easy.
Smooth and easy. You know?
You know how you like your whiskey? That's Metamucil on the backside.
Ooh,
whiskey for your backside. That should be their slogan.
Yeah. I should...
Come on, Mike. Don't tell me you wouldn't try it. You see a product that says whiskey for your backside, I'm instantly intrigued. I don't know what it is.
But it's not getting me drunk.
No.
But that's why you want to try it. Maybe it does. You don't know.
Hey, look, whiskey for your backside sounds like a bad college drug.
It got me through a hemorrhoidectomy. This thing is a miracle drug. So all these things. I get up on this. You're not going to be, I could do a speech. you know, as my name was inducted into the Metamucil Hall of Fame. I got a whole story. You know, I mean, I'm captivating. People would be crying.
Are you sure it's captivating?
Yes.
Your captivating Metamucil story.
That's exactly that. Yeah.
I mean, whiskey for your backside.
It's my enshrinement. It's not really. I'm going into the hall.
Okay, yeah, you know? Makes sense. Your bust. That's right? What it is. The bronze. Would it be a bronze bust of your top half or your lower half? Because it's Metamucil. The whole thing is, again, whiskey for the backside. It should be a bust of your ass.
Yeah.
Maybe before and after bust. You can really get the idea of what it's doing in there.
I should be a Hall of Fame West Virginian.
Why?
Just because I left.
Yeah, but you don't live up to the stereotype.
I escaped.
But no one else admits. Like, Steve Harvey does not admit it.
No.
Randy Moss does not go on.
Jennifer Gardner does not admit it.
Never brings it up.
No.
Explains her toes, right. However.
See, but I...
If you've seen them, you'll understand.
I am proud to know I left. You know what I mean?
You're proud to know you left.
Yes.
But I don't think a state's going to be like, we should put you in our Hall of Fame.
Because he left.
Yeah. And you talk trash on it.
All right, okay. Let's look at a jail, like Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
If I escape, I should be in their Hall of Fame.
That's a little different.
You know what I'm saying? No, it's not. It's really not. It's actually kind of similar. It's jail. It's hell. But you got out.
Right, but you're not allowed out. Anybody's allowed out of West Virginia. Generally, you like people in your state who talk well of it instead.
I don't think they know that.
So, all right, well.
I don't think they know that they can train.
Somebody's ex-wife get in the Hall of Fame for leaving America?
Ted, they don't even know they can train. Depends. They don't even know they can train in their car. They just stack them out front like there's eight deep, man. They don't even know they can do that. They don't know they can. They don't even use their car to leave the state.
What was the question again? What Hall of Fame would you be in?
Yeah, some theoretical Hall of Fame. I really have no idea, man. Fart gas, the farting Hall of Fame,
there
right?
There you go.
I don't have to be proud about it,
you could be
it,
the tailgater
true.
Hall of Fame. You could be the mascot Hall of Fame. As a non-mascot, as a fan.
Koozie like, Hall of Fame?
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff.
You know what's funny? I was at a very, let's just say, exclusive place.
Okay.
Well, there's like private clubs, so there's like clubs within a club.
Yes, yes.
So my buddy is a member. Mike, I've taken you to this room once before.
Yes, you have.
Of like this private club inside of a club, and we were there. We're BSing to this guy when I'm leaving. He goes, "Hey Tim," my buddy's like, "It's Ted." He's like, "Oh, okay, my bad, Ted. Did you have that koozie on you when you came up here?" I go, "Yeah," and he goes, "All right, just checking."
Wow, it's a legitimate question.
Yeah,
you brought a koozie to the private club within the private club.
Right, like today I don't have one on me, but if it's a weekend and you touch my back pocket, whatever I'm wearing. Almost guaranteed there's a koozie.
So you're telling me that a club with a club inside is serving cans of beer?
Yeah, well, you could get a can of beer.
Oh, okay. You can get one, okay. I got a koozie, you know why I'm here, like, brother.
We don't serve cans and bottles, sir. You know, kind of place.
But we understand you're Tim, so we make an exception.
The only other time I've had a good interaction, well, usually there's not a lot of people up there, but it can be a little hoity-toity.
Sure.
Well, then one time I was up there, it's like Saturday afternoon, this guy's like... Is your name Ted? And I'm like, I'm thinking he's going to be like, yeah, he knows some engine. I'm like, yeah, it is Ted. And he goes, ha ha, I remember you. You were on my flight to Milwaukee. You and your buddy kept spilling beers on each other.
And he knew your name.
Right.
He knew your name.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Right. I was like, oh, yeah, man. I was like, you're sitting next to us. And he's like, yeah, none of it got on me. It's fine. I was like, yeah, I remember you too. Yeah.
My bad.
I might have, not so much. Yeah, I didn't drink as much as you did on a flight, but I held my own.
Wow.
I mean, 17 jobs.
Okay. To be fair, it's my first time in first class.
Oh.
And I didn't pay. It's one of those, like, something happened when they booked the flight. And so when I got on the flight, they're like, hey, man, you got upgraded to first class. Like, cool. So, but the thing about first class, I had never had this.
Also, your wife was in the back.
Yeah, she was in the back and sick and coach.
You could have given her the seat, man.
I could have. And I probably should have. But anyway, we couldn't get the front door closed to the plane. And FAA regulation is, even though you're in first class and you can get alcoholic beverages before flight, they can't do it before the door's closed. And I do not know why the door was jammed, but it's been jammed for like 30 minutes at this point. So I just say to the first class lady, I'm like, hey, man. I said, can you just serve drinks anyway? She said, well, the door's open. I can't legally do that. I'm like... I do illegal stuff all the time. It doesn't matter. If you don't get caught, who cares? So I got this real old broad sitting next to me, probably like 85, 86 years old. And she looks at me, and this is what saved the day. She goes, I like how you think. And so now the first.
She sounds like the captain's.
Yeah, basically.
She's on the line.
So now the first class flight attendant's like, F it, because this is the oldest woman up here. She seems cool. So she got a vodka tomato juice. I start ripping down Jack's. And, but not with the Coke, just in first class. They're like, cool. Long story short, I guess everyone else first class was angry at me for multiple reasons, but one of them was I drank all the whiskey, right? And I don't remember the whole thing. I remember threatening a bunch of dude in the face.
Jesus.
Oh, I did. He kept staring at me, and I was like, you keep staring at me, I'm going to knock you the F out, man. Probably not the thing to do in first class, but I'm hammered. Mm-hmm. So the flight has landed.
Just out of curiosity. What? Like, who are you talking to that people are annoyed with you? Like, the old lady or just in general?
I think I'm just hammered to make a noise. Dude, I don't know. All right? So the flight lands, but I don't know the flight lands because I am past the F out at this point. And when I come to, the plane is empty. My wife is standing there, their arms folded, and that very unapproving look. And I'm just like, uh-oh. So we get up. I left something on the plane. Like, back at that time, it was all iPod. I think, like, my head, whatever, you know. But I'm hammered, so that's a big deal to me. Didn't matter. We get where we're going. We get back home. I know the wife's not pleased. I feel like crap. I come into work the next day. This was like 15, 16, 17 years ago. And Ben was here. And I'm telling him, man, I drank 17 Jack Daniels on this flight, you know, and I remember maybe the first six, you know, and I have no idea what happened after that. The wife's pissed. I'm like, it's a bad scene all around, but here I am. So the first class flight attendant, she called into the show, right? And Ben just says, there's no way he drank, or no, how many Jack Daniels did he drink? She said he drank 17. He drank us out of all of them. And I remember Ben just pumped his fist in the air like it was some victorious thing. Yeah. So, yeah, there was that play. Mm-hmm.
Reese, we asked, what imaginary Hall of Fame should you be enshrined in? This is not an imaginary Hall of Fame. There are seven new inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right.
The 2025 class was announced yesterday. They include Bad Company with Paul Rodgers.
Do they specifically say with Paul Rodgers?
They say, but, well, no. But, I mean, okay. I think Simon Burke and Boz Burrell and half those guys
still want to drink.
Are dead. Yes, they do. Man, that was a terrible night. It wasn't terrible. I just never seen two adult men just shiver off and go hide in a locker room before. They tried to hide in a locker room because they weren't supposed to be drinking on tour. Chubby Checker, also on the list.
All right.
Joe Cocker, that'll be a posthumous inductee. Cyndi Lauper, who you just saw in concert.
She was great, man.
A hell of a show. Outkast also in, along with the White Stripes and Seattle's own Soundgarden, finally getting in.
There we go.
So three of the four. Three of the power four. Yeah.
We'll talk about it later in TV time, but I'm interested to see, like, what? I don't understand why they have voting on that one.
What do you mean?
Well, so, like...
Well, Fish actually was the fan choice to vote in, but they didn't get in for whatever reason, so I don't
understand.
That's
why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Oh, so the fan favorite was Fish, and they're like, cool.
But you're supposed to allow the fan favorite in.
To Ted's point, I'm assuming. That's why you asked.
See, because Ben Shepherd was going to come on the pro... We were trying to get him on the program before we left, just so we could say, hey, you know, it means more if he says, please go vote for us. Obviously, they didn't need it.
Sure.
But that was the idea. So now, obviously, he's not coming in. He's got no reason to. It's like when you sell at a show, you're not going to come in here and knock tickets. You know,
right?
It's not going to happen. That's why we don't have, you know, Taylor Swift on or anything, because they don't need to sell tickets.
Exactly.
They do just fine. So we probably are not going to have him on. But the nominees that did not get in included Mariah Carey, Fish, who was the fan favorite, Billy Idol, who I think should be in there eventually. Joy Division, New Order. Mana. I'm not sure if Mana? I don't even know if I know who that band is. And that 25 years, and I'm not sure who that is.
I've never heard of them.
Black Crowes did not go get in. And Ted, your band, Oasis, was not enshrined either.
We'll talk about it more later. But, some of those choices on that list. I'm like, are you asking me?
Yeah, you have to be around for at least 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And nominees were voted on by more than 1,200 artists. They are required to know these bands and listen to them.
Well, sure.
Or I just learned for the Oscars or some crap, you have to watch all the movies this year if you want to vote. I just thought to myself,
well, yeah.
That is the most amazing thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. What did you think they did?
Well, I just assumed.
Oh, that they have, in fact, seen the movie.
If you're voting for, you know, the best picture, that you watched all the ones that are available. Don't you think that would be a requirement already?
You would think.
Yeah.
But apparently that's
I mean, random, like, you're voting random, on it. Random.
Hello, Kylan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Welcome to the program. What do we got here? How'd you pronounce your name again?
Kylan.
Kylan. All right, Kylan. Let's see what we got.
I'm Kylan Hole.
Kylan.
Yeah, not
Kylan.
Kylan. Okay.
How many times do you have to correct people? Every time?
Every day.
All right, Kyle, let's go with this one. How old were you when you had your first taste of booze?
I'd probably be about 12 years old with my dad.
Can of beer?
No, it was liquor, I think.
Oh, really?
I think it was Golden Slugger.
Okay.
Ooh, how much of it did you drink? Was it just a sip kind of thing?
No, he got us, me and my brother, so drunk we ended up puking blood that night.
Oh, wow. Now,
was he trying to teach you guys a lesson, or did he just overdo it?
Yeah, probably.
I was going to say, what counts, Miles?
I mean, because
I never remember being like, right, having like a sip of a beer or having like a sip of wine.
I think it's when you're allowed to have your own drink. In other words, when
you get
that can of
beer. I think I was like 13 when we figured out one time at a party we could empty out the Pepsi cans and fill them up with beer from the keg.
Plus, I think there's a difference between when you're allowed to have your first drink and when you've had your first drink.
Yes. If you do a shot, that's your first drink.
That's absolutely.
If you do a can of beer, that's your first
drink. You know,
taste of wine is not your first drink. It's not taking a regular glass if you're religious or whatever.
My mom, she just had some friends that, like, Tony's parents were off the boat Italian. So, like, if you went over there to eat dinner, you got a very small glass of wine, usually cut with ginger ale.
Right.
But she was just like, I don't know. That's just the way we do it.
I remember having like sips of my dad's beer when I was a kid. I remember telling him, like, I'll never drink beer in my life. And he laughed and laughed. But my first actual shot, I was 14. We're in the Bahamas. And I'd gotten to know the daytime bartender guy there, right? And so he's setting up for the bar. We're just talking about whatever. And in my mind, when you had a bad day, dudes came home and got a shot of scotch. Mm-hmm. Right? So he asked me something. I don't know. We kind of laughed. And I said, oh, man, I need a shot of scotch. So he poured a shot of scotch. And so I grabbed it, and I remember as I'm tipping this thing up, I see him like slow motion going, no. Anyway, I took a shot of scotch at 14, and it was not what I expected.
No.
I could not believe.
I've told this story. I was around that age, and my brother and all his cool bartending friends from Fridays, they're going to go to Laurel Racetrack, right? Because they're simulcast the Kentucky Derby. So we get to Brian, the one guy's house, right? And Brian was the coolest dude you ever met, right? Just giant brother. Looks like he's chiseled out of stone, even though he sucked at sports. But he was just a super nice guy, right? So I'm 13, 14. So I'm giving my brother crap, like, let me have some. Finally, Brian goes, let him have some. And I'll never forget, they gave me a shot of Bushmills.
Ooh.
And then gave me a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Ooh, that's a big beer for the first beer.
Oh, God.
You're trying to cheat. You're trying to make sure that you didn't drink everything.
I think that was Brian's point, because at no point later that day did I ask for anything else.
Yeah.
I was right in that same age group, too, where I was too, you know, young enough to where I wanted to take the shot, but definitely too young to actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
So my old man kind of had the same reaction, like, all right, let's get the kid a shot. He grabs up on his top shelf a bottle of Yukon Jack whiskey. And I pull it up to my nose. He says, don't smell it. You won't drink it if you do. And it smelled like straight up wart remover, dude. And I took that shot down. I was like, that's disgusting. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, look, when I was a bartender, it was a college town. So you'd get kids coming in on their 21 run and always be like, can you get a free shot? But like, no worries. No. And then it looks like whiskey. Just same thing. Don't smell it. Just drink it. It was always Hennessy or E&J. Yeah, if you're not expecting that taste.
Yeah.
And you're not. Someone here says I was 8. My friend and I split at BJ's wine cooler.
All right.
And someone else says I was 4. I snuck a 40 of Moosehead. Oh. Passed out and was sick for a week.
Damn. 40.
4 years old, taking down a 40.
Yeah.
Good.
What year did... Okay, 1983. I ended up watching Vacation, all right? So Rusty, there's this scene where he chugs a beer and just absolutely downs it in front of his dad. Like, you want a beer, Rusty? And he's like, sure. I determined at that age that the first beer that I had, because I hadn't had a beer at that point.
Chug it?
I'm going to chug it.
Yeah.
So I was at my dad's house and opened up the refrigerator before I was going to bed.
How old are you?
13. And I'm like, Dad, can I have a beer? And he's like, sure. And I just absolutely, because I could chug anything else.
Right.
I could chug a Sprite. I could chug the carbonated stuff. Yeah. It's harder.
Yeah.
Beer's just going down nice and smooth. And I crushed the can, and I threw it against the wall, and I walked upstairs and went to bed. That's how I wanted to do that, man. The reason we asked how old were you had your first taste of booze, headline says, bad idea, bringing Jell-O shots to a fifth grader's party. It was her birthday.
Yeah.
You can imagine what happened after that. More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.